Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are just delighted that we are going to be having a guest, Kathleen Solving. However, we are trying to reach her right now. And we have not been able to do so. So as soon as we are in contact with her, we are going to be talking about The Dogs of War, which is a fabulous, fabulous book about three terriers that are associated with fabulously famous people. In the interim, this is Donna Sebo, and so we're going to be chatting about different things. And if Kathleen, if we're able to reach her, then we are definitely going to be bringing her on. So in the interim, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be sharing all kinds of stories with you. And also, if you'd like to call in to the show, you can call at 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a story with you right off the bat. But first, I'd like to give a quote by Burton Hillis. Burton said, "Happiness is not a destination. It's a method of life." And I think that that is so true. There is the opportunity for all of us to make something that appears to be really a negative a positive. And let me give you an example of that. And this is an example with a group of young men. We so often will hear comments by people about how young people just are not very responsible. They're very callous. They don't think. They don't really have very much in the way of maturity. They can't see the bigger picture. Well, I want to share a real story with you about a 15-year-old special needs student. Her name is Chai Johnson. And Chai was an individual that was born with some mental challenges. In fact, one of the terms that is used to describe her disability is microcephaly. Now, this is a neurodevelopmental disorder. But though she had this neurological disorder, she absolutely loved school. Absolutely loved school. She had a wonderful attitude. She was in special ed classes. And she was attending school at Queen Creek High School in Arizona. School was so special to her. She just would come home after being in school and she would just beam. However, when she entered into high school, things changed. Kids can be really, really cruel. Instead of coming home from school smiling, she'd come home crying. She'd tell her mom and her dad how she hated school. She just hated it. Here's a kid that went from happy to sad. And when they talked to her about it, she said, "The kids are calling me stupid. They're pushing me." Her brain worked only at a third grade level with all the testing she had done. Well, her mom was just beside herself. She said, "What am I going to do?" Well, like any parent, her mother went in and talked to the principal and talked to the teachers. School officials promised her that they wouldn't tolerate this kind of behavior on the part of the other students. Well, we all know that that doesn't work sometimes very well. She kept in this attitude of she hated school. Chai just could not make the adaptation. Well, her Now, Mom checked further into things, and she figured out that the teasing that was going on at the school was happening because there weren't any adults around. And let's face it, you cannot monitor kids 24 hours a day. It just isn't going to happen. So she said, okay, there's got to be a resolution to this. And an idea popped into the mom's mind. There was a very special person. He was a captain of the football team. His name was Carson Jones. Now, at one time, he had volunteered with the Special Olympics, and he had met Chai, and he absolutely connected with her. And the mom said, I wonder if he can help. So Mom goes and emails this young man, because they were in communication. She'd known him for about 4 years. Now, this is what happened. This young man, Carson, he's 17 years old now. When he heard about what was happening to Chai at the high school, he said, okay, let's see what we can do about this. Now, what do you think a 17-year-old husky male who knows a retarded or neurologically handicapped girl would do? What do you think? He'd get his buddies around and he'd go and he'd say, hey, don't you mess with this kid. He did something different. He realized that if he really got nasty or took on a belligerent attitude, it was going to create more problems than it would solve. So he came up with a different idea. And this is what this young man did. The very next day, while he was having lunch, they were in the cafeteria at the high school, he purposefully went over and asked Chai to join him and the rest of the football team at their table. This is a problem-solving young man of 17 years. Chai was flabbergasted. She was thrilled. Now, he had talked to his friends on the team, saying, this is a challenge. I know this girl. She can't defend herself. Can we help her? The whole team got behind him, and they waved her over. She couldn't believe she was being asked to join the football team. So not only did the football team take this young girl under their wing, you might say, but he also started talking to her, and he said, there are certain people, Chai, you need to stay away from. And by golly, the guys on the team made sure that they escorted her to class, and their attitude was not to be belligerent towards anyone. I mean, let's face it, football players, they're pretty big guys. But they wanted kids to know that they needed to treat Chai with respect. That was the most important thing. And do you know what? It made a difference. Nobody hassled Chai again. She started coming home from school. She was happy. She was thrilled. And what she would say to her mom is, I'm eating lunch with my boys. Well, of course, when you're taken under the wing of a football team, guess who wants to be nice to you? Just about everybody. Well, the mom was just absolutely thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. Well, Chai ends up becoming sort of like the team's mascot, and she was the biggest fan, and she was at every single game, and the team would bring her out on the field with him to join in their victory song every time they won the game. Now, this is what's important. These young men, these teenagers, never said a word to anyone about what they did to Chai. They didn't even tell their parents about it. But you can believe that the word went out. That's right. The network of emails and everything else started going out. It became such a big positive statement of right action that the Arizona state legislature planned on honoring not just the boys, but also mentioning Chai as well. Of course, the mother of Carson was very proud as well. But you know what his attitude was? He said, we didn't do anything special. But Chai and Carson, well, they still communicate. A whole experience that was really, really bad ended up becoming something that was very, very good. And this is what I feel really makes the world an exceptional place. This was done by a group of young people that weren't out to seek any adoration, accolades, nothing. They did it because it was the right thing to do. But it not only made a difference in a young girl who has a neurological dysfunctional capacity, it showed her that not only do people have heart, but there is a way of making things better. It was an example for others. It turned seemingly a negative situation into a positive. I think these young people are a marvelous example for all of us. You don't need to be belligerent. You don't need to be nasty. You don't need to beat up on anybody or anything. But it's changing the thinking of the people around you. And I think it's such an inspiration to have this kind of an example put forth by people, and young people especially. Can you imagine what kind of an adult Carson and these other young men are going to be? These are going to be productive members of society. What they've done while they're in high school is going to have an impact on not just the way that they walk the walk in life, but it's also an example for others. And I wanted to share that with you today. Now, Kathleen Kinsolving, we are going to be chatting with her today if we're able to reach her. I believe she's in the United Kingdom, and should we be able to get a hold of her wonderful book, Dogs of War, we will be discussing. But in the interim, telephone lines are open at 888-627-6008. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Salt. We all, for generations, have been hearing about how salt is bad for us in our diet. Well, I've never bought into it. And the reason I haven't bought into it is because in my past experience, I found that salt was a very necessary part of life. I worked for Frito-Lay, the company, many years ago in Westchester, California. And the people that worked in the factories, they had to take salt tablets because the environment was so warm. Then the humidity level was such that if you didn't take the salt tablets, you could literally pass out. Sodium is a very, very important part of the diet. And there's a gentleman, Gary Tobes, that really came forth with an article saying, what is all of this stuff about salt? We keep saying you shouldn't have it, you shouldn't have it, you shouldn't have it, just delete it out of your food. Well, I want you to know, you're not going to overdose on salt, believe me. Have you ever had a piece of something that is so heavily salted that you go, oh, please, I can't eat this? You won't eat it, right? The reason is your body is telling you it's too much. I have a relative in the family. She's in her middle 80s. One day she collapses at home. They rush her to the hospital. Of course, when you're 80s, what do you think? It's a heart attack. You've got something going wrong with the internal organs. Well, something was wrong. They tested her. She didn't have enough sodium. She didn't have enough salt in her system. Salt is very, very important. And there was some research 4 years ago that was published by some Italian researchers. They've done a series of clinical trials. And all of these reports, they found that patients, let's say that had heart conditions, when they reduced the salt consumption, it increased the risk of dying prematurely. I'll repeat that. This research, a number of different clinical trials, they found reducing salt consumption increased the risk of dying prematurely. Other studies that have been done recently say that when you reduce sodium to anything like what our current government policy is, it calls a safe upper limit, a teaspoon a day, it's probably going to do you more harm than good. The studies covered more than 100,000 people in 30 different countries. Most people, on average, will consume about a teaspoon and a half a day. That's no big deal. How much salt we eat is really going to be determined by your body and your diet choices. And I can tell you that this is something, it's a myth that we need to understand is not a valid one. And I know it's very hard to disconnect from something like this when we've been bombarded by this for so many generations now. But salt is necessary. Now, too much salt? Obviously, that's not what you want, but you're not going to be able to eat it. Why do you think cows have salt lick out in their pastures? They need it. They need it to balance out the electrical processing in their bodies. There are so many people that have agendas. And this is one that we really need to understand. The low-salt diets need to be ignored. And believe it or not, among the elderly, this is important. I have a friend, same thing. She's having problem with blood pressure. She has literally eliminated salt from her diet. Do you know what she's being given? A prescription for minerals and salt. Now, why in the world does she need a prescription for salt? All she has to do is get out the salt shaker. But it's very, very tough. She is in her late 70s for her to change the attitude because she's been indoctrinated so much. So, controversy? Well, we're going to find really, really more and more information coming out about this. There's a Michael Alderman, a physician. He said the studies in his mind are very inadequate. But he said, we need to really evaluate it in the right way. So most people, salt is not going to be an issue. You need it. If you're in a humid environment, you need it. I have a friend who, whenever she'd have dinner or be around other people, they would be amazed. It's almost as if she could unscrew the top of the salt shaker and pour the salt on her food. Literally, that's what she would do. Very good, she'd say. Well, she was criticized tremendously, but she said, I need to have the salt. She was in her 50s when they did an analysis on her, and they found that her body needed the salt. She's never worried about it since. So sometimes what we go along with as far as whatever the fad of the moment might be, we need to understand our bodies really are very wise. You're not going to take in more salt than what your body needs. But think about it. When you're out playing, when you're out working in the garden during the summer, what do you want? You want something that's going to replenish the body. So you'll take in foods, you'll take in salt. Saltier things taste better during the summer. Why? Because you need it. And just like people that work in factories where they take salt tablets, you're balancing out the electrolytes in your system. It's a very important part of your own natural balance. So I wanted to share that with you today because it is something that is very important. Donna Sebo here. We have not been able to reach Kathleen Consulting. And as soon as we can, we will be putting her through if there is that opportunity. And we'll bring her on the air again. I believe she is overseas, and so this is something that we are working with. If we're not able to get her today, we're going to bring her back on because this is so important, and she is just absolutely a wonderful, wonderful woman. And these stories are just incredible. And as I've told you, they're about, a couple of them are about some Scottish Terriers. And as you know, I've got one of those delightful little sassy personalities in the Seabowl household. And so this was especially meaningful to me. Terminal patients. This is something that we are finding people are more and more open about talking about. How do you deal with terminal patients? What is it that we can do if we have family members and or friends who are in that last phase of their life? How can we make that situation not be so uncomfortable for ourselves? Well, there are a couple of tips that I think are really very meaningful, and that is when you have someone in your life that you know that they're completing that final phase. As a minister, I think it's always been for me recognition that this is not time to be sad. It is a time to recognize that this person has fulfilled their phase in their life for whatever reason, and you want to let them know, one, they're loved, one, they're not, two, they're not alone, and three, you should listen to their story. Mm-hmm. You should listen to their stories. And there was another chaplain that I had the opportunity to review some of his experiences, and he was saying that one of the things that he learned in dealing with those people who were completing their final phase of life, he said, I really don't worry about much of anything other than listening to them. Listening to their stories, because he said usually what they want to do is talk about their families. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful way to be able to help someone make their transition. And if someone is a hospice chaplain, their whole positioning about death and dying shifts dramatically, because they have a chance to be witness to some phenomenal things. And we've had some guests on the show that have shared some of their experiences. And so many times, various people that are in this positioning, whether they're a chaplain, whether they're a nurse, maybe a family member, they'll talk about what they see, what they witness, what they're experiencing with that person in those final moments. And there's often a reaching out to those that are on the other side that are waiting for them. But so many times when people are in a final phase, they may want to talk about people that have been so close to them. And often it is about family. Sometimes maybe they've been separated from members of family. Or they have experiences that they want to just open up about. Before that final portal of life opens up so that we move on into that next dimension, if you should have that experience, keep in mind, just remember that when you love those people and you're there with them, you can share something that's so magical and so special that it is going to enrich your life in a way that you will never, ever really be able to describe to someone else. And it shouldn't be hurtful. It shouldn't be something that is going to traumatize you. It should be something that allows you to realize how rich and full life really, really is. And I wanted to share that with you today because there are those people that have been brought to my attention that listen to the show that are going through some very difficult moments right now. They're watching out for those that they love. And sometimes this is even with pets. And I think it's especially significant when we recognize that every form of life can be honored. Have you ever had a little child that had an animal that died and they just are traumatized by it? They don't understand why this wonderful creature, whether it was a hamster, a dog, a bird, why that wonderful creature had to leave them. But if you can share the quiet moment with them and just let them know that they were part of family and that they've given a gift of that wonderful part of life experience that they've been able to share together, then that child will make an adjustment. That child will be able to realize that there's no end to life, that life goes on and continues in a cycle that many times we're not able to totally see. Just a few moments of thoughts with you. This is Donna Siebel, my guest today. We have not been able to reach her to this moment. Number to call in if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of insight, call 888-627-6008. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and we'll be back with some more good things to share. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone line to call into is 888-627-6008. Well, I'm going to be sharing with you in a while an absolutely decadent recipe for au gratin potatoes. Again, these are winter months, and I don't know about you, but I just absolutely find that we're during the summer, I don't particularly want very much in carbs, but oh, during the winter, there's just something special about it. And you know, you should be able to enjoy just about any food in life that you want to eat. It's just not eating too much of it. And potatoes, an au gratin recipe, oh my goodness, to go along with a nice piece of meat and a delicious salad, it can be the star of the meal. And I've got an absolutely luscious recipe that I want to share with you. So you want to get that pad of paper and pen and have that handy so that I can do exactly that for you. I'll give you that recipe. I also have a story that I wanted to share, if I have the time today, about Nujud. And this is a 10-year-old girl that was forced to get married. I mean, that is just beyond me. But this is not unusual, and this is a young woman who is a Muslim woman, and she was going to be married, because this is what her father said she was going to do. She was promised by her father to a man that he said would not touch her. So that is a story that I want to share with you. But before I go into that, I thought I would talk about finding lost treasures. Ah, yes, we all are always fascinated, aren't we, by those people that find these ships down in the depths of the ocean that have treasures that have been lost for centuries. How about the Flying Dutchman or, you know, this, that, or the other. Well, there are some treasures that people are intrigued with that have never, ever been found. How about one that is a 10-center? Mm-hmm. 10 cents. A lowly dime. Ah, yes. We handle those pieces of coinage every day, and we don't think very much about it. However, you might be interested in these dimes because in 1907, there was a wagon train that left Denver. It was carrying 6 large barrels filled with newly minted Barber dimes, nicknamed after Charles Barber. Who was Charles Barber? He was the guy that designed the coin. Now, these dimes were being delivered to Phoenix, Arizona, now about 900 miles away. However, that shipment never, ever arrived. What happened? Where did it go? They don't know. All kinds of theories. One theory is that bandits attacked the wagon train. Others think that the wagon train might have ended up falling off of an area of mountain going hundreds of feet to the bottom of Colorado's Black Canyon, because the mountain trails that these wagons had to travel over were very, very treacherous. They don't know anything about this. The men disappeared, the wagons disappeared, the horses disappeared, the coins disappeared, everything. It's just like they evaporated into nothingness. But there's more to the story. That's right. A little over 100 years later, one single 1907 Barber dime in perfect condition is sold for about $600. So they're assuming the barrels weren't destroyed and the coins haven't been exposed to the elements. So those missing coins will probably be absolutely flawless. And this is what they calculated. If you estimate 5,000 coins, 5,000 dimes, Berber dimes, at 600 each, you're looking at about $3 million, probably even more. Can you imagine what a find like that would be like? Okay, get out your maps and check things out. If you are a treasure hunter at heart, your metal detector may end up finding something in the, what do I want to say, the caverns, the shadows, the riverbeds in Arizona. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll be discovered. But one coin surfaced 100 years later. Did someone discover the entire cache? I don't think so. It's still out there waiting for you if you're interested. Okay, Donna Sebo here. Telephone line, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. I'm going to share the recipe for the au gratin potatoes with you, but I also want to share something else with you about the winter months. I used to travel quite frequently. In fact, it was every other month up to the state of Alaska. And I would be up in Fairbanks and Anchorage and Homer and so many other places in Alaska during the bitter, bitter winter, the bitter cold of winter. And one day, I can remember, I could never believe this, I can remember walking to a store, and this was when I was in Fairbanks at this one time, and I was walking to a store. Now, the temperatures, unknown to me, were like 40 below zero. Well, something happens to the body chemistry of your body when you are in very, very cold temperatures like that. It goes into a survival mode. And I was astonished when it came time for me to get some food at the store. They had a salad bar that was set up. It was just beautifully displayed. I can remember looking at the lettuce and looking at the tomatoes and looking at all of the healthy stuff. I didn't want any of it. I went and I picked up a batch of macaroni salad. I picked up some potato salad, and I was all carbs. Now, this is something I was just doing. I really didn't give much thought to it. And so I go back, and I'm eating this. Now, again, I'm in below zero temperatures, walking back and forth, and I come back in, and when I put those carbs in my mouth, they tasted like candy. Now, the irony about this is, normally, I would never eat a potato. Normally, I wouldn't have carbs. Why? Because my body, being of Italian background, Italian-German background, it's very efficient, and I just find that the carbs just love to go to the hips, you know, wherever, the thighs, you name it, and it'll just pack pounds on. I found myself eating this food. And afterwards, I can remember talking to my husband. And I told him what I'd had to eat. He said, Donna, you never eat like that. What in the world possessed you? And all of a sudden, I thought, he's right. I just knew that I had to have it. Well, I learned from physicians that work with patients up in the far north. And, of course, living in the Pacific Northwest, we have the gray days and we don't have a lot of hours of sunlight. And this is something that when you get farther north, up in Alaska, it's even more intense, you know, any of those intense northern climate areas. And by golly, I learned from these doctors that one of the biggest challenges that people have is not packing on pounds during winter. And they would tell me that this is the way the body responds. The body wants you to take in higher volumes of fat and higher volumes of carbohydrates because that is part of what is going to keep your physiological engine running. Well, that's fine if you're out chopping wood and you're climbing mountains or you're working outside the way the pioneers used to do. But when you only do a little bit outside and then the rest of it you're sitting most of the time, you are going to expand like you wouldn't believe. You're going to end up looking like a balloon filled with helium. And these doctors had told me that they even had a challenge because the weather would get so bitter cold up there. He said, let's face it, when you get below zero, and sometimes, he said, it can get as low as 70 below zero, you're not going to be outside. So you have to remember that you've got to do things to stay physically active. And so I know lots of times you go through a battle during winter, and you'll say, no carbs, I shouldn't eat this way. Remember, if you stay active, if you've got a good physical activity level, you're not going to have a problem with putting on pounds unless you're eating volumes of food. Our ancestors used to be outside working all the time. But I share that story with you because I know so many of us get so concerned during the winter months. It's typical that we might put on 5 pounds. Sometimes it might even be more. And we wonder why, and that's because we're not as active. We're staying inside because it's cold. We don't want to be outside. But if you go out and you move, or even if you're in a gym, if you stay active, you're going to be fine. You're going to find you're going to be able to keep those pounds down. So this recipe, I know, is absolutely decadent, but it is something you can enjoy. And probably during the summer months, you're not going to be interested in it, but it's going to be something that really will satisfy your taste buds. And a little bit, an average serving, will just absolutely complement whatever else you eat. But just take a lesson from me regarding the fact that the body often will tell you what it wants, and you just have to be attentive and be aware that you can moderate it, and maybe just adding a little exercise will keep those pounds from coming on. Here we go with the recipe for au gratin potatoes. Now, you're going to need about 4 cups. This makes about 6 to 8 servings, so you can cut this in half if you didn't want to fix the whole recipe. You're going to need 4 cups of grated Gruyere cheese. So good. That's such a good stuff. 1.5 cups of grated Parmesan cheese. You're going to need 1 stick of butter, 1/4 cup of minced garlic. Yes, ma'am, 1/4 cup of minced garlic. You're going to need 4 cups of heavy cream, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of thyme, and you're going to need 6 medium potatoes. And you just need to slice them really thinly. And a great thing is to use a food processor and just put them in and let it do it in seconds. You have your potatoes sliced. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to take your cheeses and mix them up in a mixing bowl, put them to the side. And the butter you want to melt in a large skillet. you add your garlic and you saute until the garlic is translucent and fragrant, but you don't want that garlic to get brown. You just want it until you smell that wonderful garlic fragrance. Then you're going to add to that your cream, your salt, your pepper, your thyme, and let it simmer for just about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, what you're going to do is take a casserole. You can always also use a cast iron skillet if you have a nice big cast iron skillet and it's deep. You want to layer half of your potatoes in your cast iron skillet and or your favorite casserole pan and spray it with nonstick cooking spray. If you really want to do old school, then just put some butter on the inside of the pan, but you do want to have that there. And then you want half of the potatoes that you've put in there, half of the cream mixture, after it's simmered for 15 minutes, you want to pour that over the potatoes, and half of your cheese mixture goes on top of that potato mixture, and you repeat the layering with the potatoes and cream and cheese. Now, you're going to bake this at 325 degrees for about 2 hours. That's right, for about 2 hours. The cheese will be melted and golden and absolutely yummy. This is a great dish, I think, to do on a weekend when you're busy putzing around the house and you really want to fix something special. But once this is done, 2 hours in the oven, it's baking, it's great. And it reheats beautifully if you have leftovers. It's just absolutely wonderful. So I wanted to share that with you so that you had that delightful little goodie to add to your recipe collection. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. And my guest, Kathleen Consolving, we're going to have her on again on another date. We've not been able to reach her. And I do hope that you will be aware she's going to be talking about the dogs of war at our next opportunity. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And again, we've not been able to reach Kathleen, but we'll schedule her for another date. Defenders of speed. What does that sound like to you? Well, there was a person that was really having a problem, and they were having a problem because they were getting tickets. Well, Renan Schnitzer, that's right, that's his name. He got a text message at 2 a.m. from a fellow that said, we really need to do something about working with some of these tickets that are being passed out. Would you help me co-found something called Ticketbuster? Ticketbuster? I'd never even heard of this. Well, guess what? This is a business that helps people contest their traffic tickets. Now, Schnitzer is a man who has been able to help people for a lot of years. He did it because he wanted to do it, helping them deal with their traffic tickets. Now, he is in Washington State, and just about anybody can contact him if they'd like to have some help. Now, this is what you do. Now, I don't know if he works with people outside of the state of Washington. Well, what you do, you send a photo of your ticket to eticketbuster.com, along with a deposit for half of the fine, plus a $6.50 processing fee. Now, this is what he does. He uses an option in Washington state law known as a decision on written statement, or DWS. Now, Mr. Schnitzer and another associate, who's an attorney, they then start going to work for you. If it's a speeding ticket, they say they request the officer's statement and all the tests that have been done on the speed measuring device. They analyze the data, draft an argument, and then send it to the court. That's what they do for you. Now, if this is successful, they keep the 50% deposit. If not, they refund your deposit to you in full. They are looking at expanding the service to other states, working with DWS laws, and they're working on an application for eTicketBuster. He said he figures that that's going to be a lot better than having someone text him about a problem at 2 a.m. in the morning. People's minds, aren't they wonderful? Isn't it amazing how people will say, this is a service we've been doing for a while. Let me look at a different attitude. Let me look at a different perspective. This is something where we can get paid for it, yet we're still doing good things for good people, and we're not charging a whole bunch of money. And it's dealing with the numbers. If you have people that pass it along, obviously these two men are going to be doing some other things. They're attorneys, and so they're going to be involved in other things as well. But there are those individuals that have a need of this service. Now, by the way, I'm going to add something here. Writing in, depending on where you are in the country, you need to know that writing in and following due procedure can actually help you. Let me tell you what happened to me recently, and this was in the Seattle area. I had gone to do a program, a speaking engagement, in an area of downtown Seattle. Now, they had put in brand new parking meters. And they're all computerized, and you almost need a how-to book when you're looking at this. I don't know what engineer came up with this nonsense, but it's utterly ridiculous because no longer are you going to be able to, let's say, pay it forward if you wanted to leave extra time for someone else to be able to utilize. I just don't see how it's possible with the system they've got now. But that's beside the point. Everything's computerized. I am in this place for the first time, parking in an area that never, ever had these computerized parking meters before, and it's pouring rain. Unknown to me, and I follow all the instructions on the meter, I have the ticket, everything else. Well, unknown to me, you needed to put the ticket on the window facing, on the passenger side window, facing out towards the curb. You needed to put it there. I had no clue. Just did not have a clue. There was nothing on the machine that said put ticket XYZ position. So I ended up getting a ticket. I come out. I hadn't used up all my time. I paid for like 4 hours. I came out. It was a little bit over 3 hours of time. I find a ticket on my windshield. What I did was read the instructions. Well, I talked to some friends about this that have had some experiences with parking tickets, and they said, oh, you're probably just better off just paying the ticket. Well, this is no small fee. They're charging $45 to $60 for a parking ticket. And I go, I don't think so. So what I did, I wrote a letter, followed the instructions exactly, telling about the circumstances, pouring rain, first time, the whole charge was waived. Here in the state of Washington, these letters go in front of a judge. So this judge reviews this material, and I bet you he's got thousands of sheets of paper in front of him. It allows you 2 months. If they do not accept the explanation, then you will have to pay the ticket. I get a letter 6 weeks later saying the whole thing's been voided. So there is a valid point. Even though it's time-consuming and you may be very, very irritated, do send in written information. It does make a difference. There was the option also of appearing in court, but my goodness, that would have taken me a full day by the time I drove down to Seattle, was in the courtroom, dealing with traffic and coming on back. It would have been a whole day for me, shut down. So I put in the written information, of course, keeping copies of everything, including the original ticket that I got and the times and everything that were on it. So keep that in mind. Whenever you have a situation that comes up, don't be intimidated. Be willing to follow through with the due process. And I think you're going to find yourself really surprised at how you might be able to represent yourself a little bit better than you expect. It paid off for me, and I was tickled pink. File closed, and I didn't have to pay a ticket, which I should never have gotten anyway. Not only that, they need to get rid of those ridiculous machines. They're just not user-friendly. Not at all. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Next week, we are going to have as guest James Stein. We're going to be talking about the paranormal equation. On Tuesday, we're going to have an open mic day. Wednesday, we've got Attitude Reconstruction by Jude Bijou. You're starting off a new year, and wow, why not look at what you could change, perhaps with how you think, how you feel. What is it that you can shift to that's going to empower you more as an individual? And then we're going to talk about a little bit of the mysterious, the unusual, vampires in the United States. Ah, yes, there we go. Vampires in the United States. Yes, Bob Curran. We're going to be going to Ireland for this one. And then the business of wanting more. Now, Brian Gast is going to be my guest. You may say to yourself, the business of wanting more? What is this all about? Well, that title may make you think that this is going towards a materialistic kind of positioning. It's not. It is taking power over your life so that you live life with more quality. Brian Gast is going to have some wonderful, wonderful things to share. This is Donna Sebo, and oh my goodness, it is just marvelous to be able to share this time with you. And I find there are so many fascinating people in this world, and it's my delight to be able to bring them to you via the technology of today. Convenient, you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Don't forget, you can go into the archives here at BBS Radio. If you've missed any of the interviews that I've done and you'd like to listen to one, just know that that's possible for you. Resumes. People are out looking for work. There are so many, many jobs that are not being filled. And it's really a challenge for employers. So often people will look just at one side, the people being out of work. But there are so many jobs. There are the positionings that may not be glamorous, but will allow you, let's say if you're a young person and you're starting out, will allow you to maybe get some apprenticeship experience. Maybe you have a chance to serve an internship, or at least you're going to be paid for it. If you're a person that wanted to learn about the food business, go to work for a fast food place, sure, you're going to be getting minimum wage, but my goodness, you could eventually evolve into management. But you can get the inside skills. We need to be willing to open ourselves up to saying, if I need to learn something new, I don't care what your age is, let me see what's available. Let me, if I want to learn about printing, if I want to learn about publishing, if I want to learn about veterinarian care, let me get into it. Let me go and present myself. Well, one of the things that people forget when they do a resume is that they need to remember to tailor their resume. That's a tough one. I was talking with a woman, a mature lady, who was looking for work. And she was finding she was being turned down. And when we talked about why she was being turned down, one of the two words that, not one, but two words that were being often used, you're overqualified. And so we discussed how she could shift what she's presenting herself with. Now, someone listening might say, oh, Donna, but that's lying. No, it's not. You need to remember, if you're looking for work, this is not being unethical. You've got a resume that you are wanting to present the best of who you are. If you're applying for a job at, let's say, a fast food place or something like that, you need to focus on the skills that you have acquired that's going to benefit that person, that business. Now, what they have found, people that tailor their resume and cover letter to highlight the skills and experience that the ad asks for and trim out things that are not related to the job opening, they're probably going to be asked to be interviewed. There's overkill. I know of someone who is a professional, and my goodness, their listing of what they've been involved in, I mean, it's really awesome. They have a phenomenal background, but it doesn't apply to the environment that they're really trying to get into at this time. And that is something, it's very hard for them to sort of let that go, because it's like, this is ownership with me. This is something that I own. I would say, don't worry about that. What you want to do is really look at the ad. How can you emphasize the skills that will suit that you're applying for? Remember, you're multi-talented and you want to focus on your strengths. So how can you tweak that presentation so it's going to present you in a way where someone's going to say, wow, I really want to have your skills here. I really want to have your skills here. Very important. There's a woman I know, for example, who is a bookkeeper. Now, she went in to get a bookkeeping job. What she found is that the bookkeeping job entailed knowing how to use QuickBooks in a very efficient way. She had never used QuickBooks. She had used things like Peachtree or some other programs. Well, QuickBooks for a small business is just absolutely wonderful. Well, someone tutored her, and she was able to work with that person. And what she did, she said, well, I'll work for less money if you will help me understand what you've got going here. Well, after 2 years, this woman can go to just about anybody that has a QuickBooks system. She can operate it. She's gone into business for herself. So I share that with you just to give you encouragement to realize that you're not stuck and you're not lost. Now, the International Journal of Selection and Assessment said job recruiters are looking for what they feel is a perfect fit, and personalizing your resume and cover letter shows that you might be just what they want. This is Donna Sebo. I'm just delighted that we've been able to share this time together. Thank you so much for joining me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Remember, just like Carson, the young man who was on this football team, you, just like Carson, can take something that seems to be really, really bad and turn it into something that's so positive that you're a light for everybody else around you. Believe in yourself. I'm so delighted that you do believe in yourself, because you're part of my listening team, and I enjoy having you here. Have an awesome weekend wherever you are with whatever you're doing. I'll talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.